We know that there are more and more artists out there that we just, we don't know, or maybe we don't have a connection to.
Yeah.
Join us on Director's Cut. We want all artists, and I mean all artists. If you are a mime, we want you on the air. I don't know how it'll go interviewing a mime, but we'll give it a shot.
Sure.
We want everybody to join us for Director's Cut every Sunday, 8 to 9. It's a great show. We got great stuff coming up for you right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. A week into the auto workers' strike, we're 3 hours away from the union's next deadline to expand it. Correspondent Chris Van Cleve.
Union strike! Union strike!
The United Auto Workers Union staged what amounted to practice strikes near plants in Chicago and Louisville Thursday after picketing in front of Chrysler parent Stellantis' Michigan headquarters.
Union power.
The strike is poised to expand today to more plants, potentially crippling the big three automakers as contract negotiations remain ongoing but largely stalled.
And that announcement could come in about an hour. Striking writers will meet with Hollywood studio representatives for the third straight day to try to end their walkout. Now in its fifth month, studio heads, including Disney's Bob Iger, were at yesterday's talks. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's efforts to avoid a government shutdown have been shut down by many of his fellow Republicans. Now the White House is preparing for the possibility. CBS's Nicole Killian.
CBS News has learned that the White House and the administration will start to hold its first calls with federal agencies to prepare for a potential shutdown.
And that could happen October 1st. Russia claims a Ukrainian missile has hit its Black Sea Fleet headquarters. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
One Russian service member is missing in the strike, which sent large plumes of smoke over the building in Sevastopol and annexed Crimea. Firefighters were battling the blaze. Russian authorities have accused Ukraine of stepping up its attacks on the city. This attack was the biggest in weeks.
Much of the surge at the southern border is coming from Venezuela, and while border towns are trying to deal with the influx, migrants like Adrian Eseles are adjusting too.
I feel like out of place, a little bit uncomfortable because everything is different. The people are different, the environment, the language.
His words through an interpreter. He's one of thousands that have entered the U.S. at El Paso during the past few days. France is also going through an immigration crisis. Now the Pope is getting a look up close and personal. CBS's Elaine Cobb is in Paris.
The Pope is headed to the southern city of Marseille as part of his program of visiting smaller Catholic communities. Europe's migration crisis will be high on the agenda. The port city is one of the main landing places in France for illegal migrants.
A tropical system is likely to become tropical storm Ophelia soon, with landfall tomorrow on the North Carolina coast. Odyssey New York meteorologist Craig Allen says as it heads north,
there will be strong winds and very heavy rain up and down the I-95 corridor along the eastern seaboard.
Storm surge said to be the biggest threat for North Carolina. Ahead of the opening bell, S&P futures are up 15. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Meet Bruce.
Hey there.
He's a busy soccer dad who's trying hard to learn the game.
Go for the end zone!
Whoops. Luckily, other things come easy, like banking with Chase. On a tip from his banker, he set up AutoSave in the Chase mobile app. So what are you saving for, Bruce?
Father-daughter soccer camp.
Smart bankers, convenient tools, one bank with the power of both. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase, make more of what's yours.
AutoSave requires a Chase checking and savings account. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC.
Happy 62nd birthday, Granddad.
Thanks, sweetheart.
I got you this.
A mug. Oh, thank you. What does it say? Beware, if you are 60 or older, you may be at increased risk of hospitalization from RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, compared to adults younger than 60.
Not all dangers come with warning labels. Talk to your pharmacist or doctor about getting vaccinated against RSV today. Learn more at bewareofrsv.com. Brought to you by Pfizer.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 78. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms again. Tonight, lows of aloft around 60. Cloudy skies expected. A blend of clouds and sun. Tomorrow, chance for scattered thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 79. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 63.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. We hope it's treating you good. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa K. And we are joined right now by our great friend. We have our sports reporter here at Civic Media, Mike Clemens, with us right now. Mike, good morning. All right, where is everybody? Why am I not hearing anybody? Where is everyone? Mike? Melissa?
Can you hear me?
Ah, yeah, there you are, Mike. There you are. Hey, Mike.
I couldn't hear Melissa there.
Yeah.
I can hear you.
I'm here, too.
Okay, there she
there
is.
You go.
All right.
There.
All right, now the whole gang's together. Now we can hang out. Now
we're
we
all here.
Yeah. Mike, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. It's a exciting weekend with sports. You got the Brewers with a magic number of 2. You got the Badgers playing a team tonight, Purdue, in a rare Friday night football game that starts at 6 o'clock down in Indiana, and they have beaten Purdue 16 times in a row, so it'll be the first time with Luke Fickell, the new head coach. But then, you know, you got the home opener, Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field, coming off a really disappointing loss against the Falcons last weekend. And I think one of the reasons is because everything that Matt LaFleur told us about the Falcons and their strengths and his game plan was working up until about the start of the fourth quarter last weekend. And I think there that was one of the reasons that he was so frustrated. That's as upset as I've ever seen him in a
yes.
post-game press conference.
That's actually where we do want to get a little bit of Purdue and Badger coverage in. But before we do, I wanted to start there, Mike. I'd never seen Coach LaFleur that emotional or that kind of animated. What do you think from him and the staff went wrong in going into that fourth quarter?
Well, as I say, I think he felt really good about his game plan, and they had it there, and they had a 24-12 lead, and it ends up slipping away. In part, you know, and he came right out and called the run defense. You know, we got gashed, and the Falcons ended up having the ball like 78 plays. So there was a lot of Jordan Love standing in the sidelines, watching the game. You know, there's another little thing going on here. Matt LaFleur was on that Falcons team as the quarterback coach the year they went to the Super Bowl, and they lost in the fourth quarter to the Patriots. But Matt LaFleur was the quarterback coach when Matt Ryan was named the MVP, Dan Quinn was the head coach, and he'd rebuilt that program to get there. They gave Dan Quinn, Matt LaFleur was able to take that and turn it into a coaching job with the Rams and then an offensive coordinator and then get a head coaching job.
Mm-hmm.
But Dan Quinn got like 2 more tries at the plate, and then, Arthur Blank fired him. And I don't think that sit well with Matt LaFleur, so he would have liked to have beaten the Falcons with that game. A little juice on there.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
There's a couple of plays, too, where the Packers just let it slip away. They were both fourth and ones. One was when the Packers had the ball. I think it was the start of the fourth quarter, and Jordan Love gets called for a false start on a quarterback sneak. And when the game was over, I went right immediately to Josh Myers, the center, in the visitor's locker room and said, "What happened on that play?" He said, "Look, Jordan just came over here to clarify what went wrong. I told him what went wrong. He's going to talk about it at the podium." And what went wrong was that Jordan Love used the wrong word in his cadence to trigger quarterback sneak. He used something else, so his line didn't realize he was going to sneak it, and that's why they didn't move and they got a false start call. The other fourth and one play was, now the Falcons are rolling. They came out in the second half with an empty backfield and 5 wide, and the Packers stopped them each and every play, like 4 or 5 plays in a row on passing plays. So then Arthur Smith, the head coach who'd worked with LaFleur in Tennessee, he changed it. He realized his strength was that Bijan Robinson, their rookie running back, put him in the backfield and go play action, and they just marched down the field. So whoever Joe Barry had to substitute from his like dime, pass defense, that seemed to make the difference for the Falcons in terms of having those sustained drives and ended up winning the football game. And it came to a fourth and one where he put that Bijan Robinson in the backfield. They broke huddle and ran up to the line and ran the play. And the Packers are still, like, standing around on a 4th-and-1 in their own territory, not even ready for the play. This guy gets a 7-yard gain, and the Falcons score again. So those kinds of mental mistakes like that drove LaFleur up the wall.
When you get two teams that are so close, it really it's so crazy how it comes down to these one or two plays that change the outcome of the game. So often it happens week after week and just never seems to not surprise me. It's interesting. Let's look at this home opener for Green Bay. What do you see in New Orleans that worries you or excites you?
Their defense. Their defense ranks for a reason, you know, one of the least amount of points scored on them, and they are hard hitting, and they have veterans, and they have a pass rush with a guy like Cameron Jordan, you know, who we've heard about over the years. Mm-hmm. They've got a hard hitting veteran, a savvy defensive back, right corner, and Marshawn Lattimore. They've got the Honey Badger there, veteran Tyrann Mathieu back there at safety. And so, you know, LaFleur has talked about that. They play with speed. They're very physical. And now you're going up against a Packers offense that's got some injuries. You got Elgton Jenkins, your left guard, now with a sprained MCL. He's out for a couple of weeks. And then you got the whole David Bakhtiari saga at left tackle, where suddenly he was inactive last weekend against the Falcons game. And it started a rumor on the internet that maybe he was going to sit out the game because it was on turf, as a protest the week after Aaron Rodgers went down with, you know, his torn Achilles tendon. So that, and then in your backfield, Aaron Jones, will he be able to play this week after having a tweak with his hamstring in the opener against Chicago? He was limited in practice. Don't know if Christian Watson, your top receiver, is coming back. So now, you know, you're putting Jordan Love, you're not giving him all the weapons that they had planned for early in the season.
Mike, when it comes to the Purdue and Badger game today, God, I feel so good to say, I love Friday football. When it comes to this game today, what do you think that Coach Fickell and his staff are learning from this short season so far to take into this first Big Ten matchup?
You know, there was a lot of hype and a lot of excitement about their air raid offense and a no-huddle offense. And Tanner Mordecai, their quarterback, you know, a scout pointed this out to me. If you watch him, there's no huddle through the whole game. It's trying to be quick to get these passing plays called. And you see him run alert sort of to the sidelines or about at the numbers. And as they're signaling in the play, you can see his lips move, trying to interpret what's being said to him. Mm. And, you know what? At the end of the day, it's a program in transition. And even though they've got a terrific running back, young running back, and Braylon Allen back there, that's not where the program is going. Hmm. And so I think Luke Fickell has to recognize that, and fans probably have to as well. In his favor, the Badgers have beat Purdue 16 times in a row. So if they lose tonight down there in West Lafayette, that'll be a huge headline. Turns out, by the way, that team that they lost to, that they were really kind of shocked by, Washington State, they're now ranked 21 in the nation after beating the Badgers. So that was a pretty good team that they lost to, even though it was a non-conference opponent.
Yeah, I think we touched on that even a little bit. That quarterback, that team, they got a nice team over there. It wasn't, to me, it wasn't a gigantic upset, them getting beat, especially with a team in the Badgers that is, like you said, kind of developing. Coach Fickell, this offense he wants to do, he still doesn't have the recruits yet, even with the transfer portal and all of these things. It's going to be a season or two before he really gets that staff and the team the way he wants it. And very similar thing I think going on in Green Bay in some ways, where you've got a team that was building for Super Bowl year in and year in and year in, and this year they're not calling it a rebuild, a revamp, whatever you want to look at it as. You've got a changing of the guard there with that, so you have two teams and a fan base that is kind of adapting to that. How do you think the Wisconsin fans are enjoying football and are going to enjoy this season?
Well, you know, I think the good news is that right now, do you know who's got the best quarterback rating in the National Football League?
Yep, I do, yes.
It's Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Jordan Love. He's taking care of the football. He's got 6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, a quarterback rating of 118.8. So, you know, the guy is holding up under the pressure. As for the Badgers, like I say, instead of, you know, people saying, wow, this, you know, Luke Fickell, he was so successful at Cincinnati. Look at all the kids that transferred to go into Madison. Well, the fact is they're in transition. That's what you've learned. And this is not going to be easy. And they're going to have to, you know, gradually decide what their identity is going to be. Mm. And Luke Fickell, even though he drew these kids to Madison, it's going to take a while before he can change that culture. If, in fact, he wants to turn Madison into a grinding running game on offense, into more of an air attack.
Mike Clemens, our sports reporter here at Civic Media. Mike, I don't mean to nitpick at all, but the one other thing Jordan Love is doing, no weird quotes or tweets. None of that. We haven't had any of that from him this year, like a previous quarterback or anything. That's been nice, too. That's been pretty good for the fan base as well.
I don't know if I told you this story before, James, but I mean, I liked Aaron Rodgers, and he was good to me, and he was good at breaking down things. But as Mark Murphy famously said a couple of years ago, he's a complicated man, and he is. And he's done a wonderful job at sort of cleaning up his image with what he was doing with the New York Jets, all kinds of press avails and, you know, a rah-rah guy and trying to rebuild his image besides, you know, get with a team that he thought he had a shot with. So, you know, he moves out of Green Bay. He knows that it's Jordan's time, all those kinds of things. But there's one thing that Aaron kept on saying in the last year or two, like when he'd do interviews off campus, like on Pat McAfee, who says, well, you know, we did this, and then we transitioned from Mike McCarthy, and, you know, we're kind of running this kind of an offense. And, of course, I had back-to-back COVID MVPs, and I thought, now what does that mean? Mm. So I went to someone in the Packers front office and said, did some sports writer say that, well, you know, those two back-to-back MVPs that Rodgers got in his last couple of years in Green Bay, that's just because, you know, they had empty stands. I mean, you've got to account for those. And he said, no. He said, that's about when the reaction that people got when he said that, yeah, I'm immunized. And then he tested positive for COVID and all the heat that he took for that. That's he's pushing back on that. I'm like, yeah. Oh, and I thought, he won the MVP. Just celebrate that.
Just celebrate it.
And this guy's response, James, was this. He goes, yeah, we don't miss that anymore.
yeah. It's the thing, because I've never met the man. I don't know him as a human being, so I don't judge him by that or by any means. But when he seems to be, every time he walks in a room, he thinks he is the smartest person in the room. A person like that that also takes his career and like, you know what? No, I'm just going to do the Pat McAfee show. That's all I'm doing. That's the only interview show I'll do. And I'll go to a guy who's just going to feed me questions and not ask me follow-up questions and really push me on things. For the smartest man in the room, I find that a little surprising. But as an athlete and as a quarterback, my God, there are a few quarterbacks I have seen that have impressed me more than Aaron Rodgers in his highlight, at the top of his game. I grew up a big Randall Cunningham fan, and I think a lot of his game is similar to Cunningham's game in many ways. Just an evolution of it, just by far and away much better than what Randall was able to do. Mike, we appreciate the time, as always. I will stop keeping you and rambling with you.
Wait.
Oh, whoa,
wait,
you got something?
You can't go. I have a burning question I need to ask Mike.
Oh, please.
What's that, Melissa?
Well, obviously, if you've listened to us at all, I'm not huge into sports, but I need to know, on my fantasy football team, do I want to put Jalen Thompson of the Arizona Cardinals in as my safety?
Are you serious?
Yes.
No, Melissa. No, you don't. No.
Okay.
Hey, can I ask you, can I tell you something?
Yes.
I got invited by our company saying, oh, hey, let's get Mike Clemens, football boy, into our fantasy league, you know, with the company.
Yeah,
I don't do fantasy.
Oh, good
you
on
know
you.
Why?
Good on you.
No, seriously. Years ago, I was asking one of the players about that. He goes, that would be gambling. Now, the league has changed so much, but you know something? I'm here to cover these guys and these players and how they got here and what it takes to win games. And so, therefore, I don't think, if that I'm your source of information for that, that I should be telling you what I know from that standpoint on the like this. So you guys have fun with it.
Yeah.
I think it's great. But I think that I need to step away from that.
Yeah.
Because the other thing is I've got so much on my mind trying to figure out how these guys are gonna win a game. That if I had money on it, I would probably lose my mind by the half.
I couldn't even imagine. Yeah. We appreciate the time as always, Mike. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk again real soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Thanks,
have
Mike.
A great
you
weekend,
too.
Mike. He's the best. Mike Clemens, sports reporter here at Civic Media. Love talking with Mike. Be sure to catch Badger football tonight right here on WFHR. 4 o'clock, our pregame kicks off. Your Badgers taking on the Boilermakers. Big Ten action. 4 o'clock today. Be sure to catch that. We'll come back with a little bit of entertainment look. Look at entertainment. I don't know what that was. I don't know what I was saying there.
We're entertained by looking at entertainment.
I just want to talk more sports with Mike. That's where my brain's at.
Yes, actual sports.
I'll readjust it. We'll get back here with some entertainment talk on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
A proud supporter of Pet of the Week with WFHR and the Southwood County Humane Society, Tom's Paint is your one-stop shop for paint, wallpaper, and blinds. Rebates available on Graber Blinds until October 31st. Tom's Paint, 941 Huntington Avenue. We have you covered.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 78. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms again tonight. Lows level off around 60. Cloudy skies expected. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 79. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 63.
Welcome back, everyone, to the morning show here at WFHR, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a great, great start to your Friday out there. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday.
Hope you are having a good one. Thanks so much for joining us. I want to get into a little bit of entertainment talk with you, Melissa.
All right.
Gordon Ramsay is developing a new show for Fox called Idiot Sandwich.
Okay.
I honestly didn't know that you could do that anymore. I thought that word we couldn't say anymore. I'm actually a little thrown by that. thought that was kind of interesting.
Kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what's the show about? The title of the show is based on a popular meme from a sketch on The Late Late Show. It was a parody of Kitchen Nightmares with James Corden facing off against Julie Chen. The chef Ramsay screaming at them the whole time. It was just a gag. At one point, he takes two pieces of bread, puts one on each of Julie's ears, and makes her call herself an idiot sandwich. This was back in 2005, but it still got legs. Ramsay says, quote, "Wherever I go, there's some young kid somewhere that wants to be called an idiot sandwich."
Okay.
So it's a sandwich-making competition, essentially. Is what it is. But they don't really give you a whole lot of detail on the show. And this might be a great show, and I have nothing against Gordon Ramsay, but they tell you a lot with these things when they don't explain what the show is. It's the same thing with TV shows. When they don't tell you a lot of the plot, it doesn't bode well. It doesn't, you know, it's not necessarily a good sign.
No.
Could be interesting.
It could be, and I mean, Gordon Ramsay is notorious for yelling at people.
Yeah.
So the title kind of fits, I guess.
I will say, he's one of those people I would love to interview. When you see interviews with him and when you hear him, like, away from TV shows, he's actually a pretty calm, collected guy who has a lot of good he's trying to do in the world when it comes to food and helping people. I think it'd be a fascinating conversation to get to know him a little bit, you know, 20 minutes, a half an hour or something, and finding out the duality of him and you know, where that comes from. Is it, you know, we've talked recently in the last year or so about Guy Fieri. And how much of Guy Fieri, he's him, the most authentic part of Guy Fieri is him talking and his personality. Everything else is kind of made for TV.
Right.
I'm curious about Gordon Ramsay, how much of that is made for TV and how much of it is, you know, just who he is. I know, just knowing a lot of chefs and, or I should say chef's apprentices and everything, that industry, I think you have to have a thick skin to be an actor. I don't know if I got a thick enough skin to be a chef. I don't know. I don't know. I definitely don't have the skill set to be one. I don't know if I have the mental fortitude to be one. And I act for a living. I have casting directors tear me to shreds like once a week when I'm casting, when I'm on casting sessions in a normal season. That, I don't know. That's a whole different world.
It's a very difficult job to hold, and a difficult culture that they're working to change, that they're working to make changes and to make it more inclusive and less cutthroat, I guess is the way you could put it.
What's new on your small screen this weekend on Netflix, Spy Kids Armageddon? It's a reboot of the Spy Kids franchise. Zachary Levi and Gina Rodriguez are in that one. Let's see here. On Hulu, No One Will Save You, starring Carrie Diver from Last Man Standing, as a woman experiencing a home invasion by aliens. Okay.
Dang. Interesting. Okay. Dang. Mm-hmm.
On Peacock, The Continental, from the world of John Wick, it's a 3-part miniseries about the beginning of their building, the Continental.
Hmm.
On Friday on Showtime, Deadlocked, How America Shaped the Supreme Court, a 4-part documentary about the people, decisions, and confirmation battles that led to the court that overturned Roe versus Wade. That could be very interesting. That could be a really interesting one to see. And on Hulu today, starting around 9 o'clock tonight, Ryan Seacrest hosts iHeartRadio's Music Festival, which airs live over the next 2 nights. You've got Lenny Kravitz, TLC, who we were just talking about, Sheryl Crow, Tim McGraw, Miguel, Kane Brown, Lil Wayne, all going to be there tonight. Tomorrow, Public Enemy. Oh, I cannot wait for that. I am checking that out. I love Public. Maybe my favorite rap band of all time. Foo Fighters, Kelly Clarkson, Fall Out Boy, Travis Scott, all going to be there. Later on Saturday, Naughty by Nature and the Sugar Hill Gang, all going to be there. And Sunday Night Football this Sunday. Las Vegas Raiders taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. That should be a good one as well. Good stuff right there.
Football.
Yes.
Woo. I'm sorry. I'm trying to sound excited. I feel a little bad that I asked Mike about fantasy football. And he's like, I don't have time for that fake stuff. Good call from him. I was not trying to be in any way, you know.
No, I don't think he took it that way. Actually, I thought that was really fun. And I don't know Mike, but I know him well enough. I'm almost positive Mike enjoyed that. I thought he had fun with it. I don't think that kind of stuff usually gets a chance to talk about that stuff. He gave him an opportunity to reference it and talk about it. And if you need any help fantasy football wise, please reach out to me. I will help you. I have won many championships, and I am by no means great at this, but I can tell you the one thing that'll help you the most in fantasy football that nobody will, most of it is luck. You can do all the thinking and planning you want, but so much of it, if not 100% of it, comes down to being lucky.
So my random choices are probably just as good.
I mean, we do this all the time with sports, especially with, like, every year we people do the March Madness brackets. And every year you're going to see somebody do really, really good in the brackets that, like, did it based on mascots or team colors or something, you know? There's no names. Rivalry. Have fun with it. Please do let me know if you need any help defensive-wise. looking at what's new in theaters this weekend, nothing real. Just a big one coming out: The Expendables 4. Jason Statham, Dolph Lundgren, Randy Couture, Sylvester Stallone, 50 Cent, Megan Fox. You know, the usual Expendables lineup. You've got a bunch of action stars in this movie. You're going to have a lot of action explosions and not a lot of dialogue. But if you like explosions like me, you'll have fun with that one.
Okay.
We are going to get to Melissa's news. When we get back, we're going to talk about this tree hunter. Hunter and the largest old growth cedar in the BC.
Cool.
It's going to be cool. We're coming up. We're talking trees, Melissa and I, on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. 3 adults were arrested in Rudolph on Monday after a search warrant found drugs and children living in deplorable conditions. The Wood County Sheriff's Office searched the home and seized quantities of suspected fentanyl, methamphetamine, marijuana, and prescription medications. The condition of the home was described by the investigators on the scene as deplorable, with the odor of death. They found dog feces, rotten food, standing black water, and insect infestation. The children are in the care of responsible adults at this time. The 3 adults arrested have bonded out of jail. The Wood County Sheriff's Office is asking the community to speak up if they suspect a child is not being cared for. Anyone can report child mistreatment anonymously, per Wisconsin law. The Marathon County Housing Task Force will hold an informational session in early October to help educate people about community on call. The program is a community effort to help unhoused neighbors during extreme weather in both winter and summer. Anyone interested can attend the session on October 5th at 5 p.m. at Community Partners Campus in Wausau. The community on-call model will make helping vulnerable neighbors more manageable for the community. A potential major development is on the horizon along the Eagle River chain. Here's Brittany Merlot.
The DNR is reviewing the Lake Forest Golf Course as the Delmark Group wants to transform it into a vast condominium complex. It would also include 18 permanent piers along the Eagle River chain. The DNR water management specialist says the project has area residents concerned about the potential issues the new piers would cause, with boater safety, increased traffic, navigational issues through the channel, and fishery habitat. Half of the slips would be for restaurant dockage, and that the other half would be for boat rentals. The DNR should have a decision by October 6th on whether or not they will allow Delmark to move forward with this project.
Pete Ravel and Four on the Floor will play at the Pittsville School Auditorium on Saturday, September 23rd at 7 p.m. Tickets will be available for purchase at the door. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News on WFHR and WIRI, your locally grown radio stations.
Some days, my active psoriatic arthritis makes it hard to get in the game. Now, the ball is in my court, thanks to treating my skin and joints with SkyRizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults.
Nothing is everything.
SkyRizi helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to SkyRizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With SkyRizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about SkyRizi and visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of the Big Win and Madison Casino Guru, is transforming guests into winners. Making an ordinary day into a big win day is easy with a 95% average payout. And with over 140 daily jackpots, the number of people winning has never been bigger. So what are you waiting for? Escape to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison for your next big win.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison.
To everyone who craves a rich and creamy hometown treat, let our team member Nevaeh tell you how we do it at Culver's.
Every scoop of Culver's fresh frozen custard is made in small batches throughout the day. Because where we come from, the little things make a big difference. Like bringing back a seasonal favorite, our salted caramel pumpkin concrete mixer and pumpkin spice shake are back for a limited time. Handcrafted with farm fresh dairy and real pureed pumpkin just for you.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to Delicious.
Culver's, 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 78. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms again tonight. Lows level off around 60. Cloudy skies expected. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 79. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 63.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
When you feel the world around you spinning out of control, you can find someone around you to bring you out of the cold.
Melissa and James here with you. We're hanging out and making your Friday move. Hopefully you're having a good one out there. Melissa, you actually you mentioned something earlier about not knowing sports that well. Have you heard the name J.J. Watt?
Maybe.
Okay. J.J. Watt's local, well, he was a Wisconsinite, went to the UW-Madison and went on to the NFL to have a Hall of Fame, I think a Hall of Fame career. He just recently retired. He has a younger brother, T.J. Watt, who is a linebacker on the Pittsburgh Steelers, who's equally as good, maybe even better in some ways, having a great career and going. He actually had the highest sack total ever last season. And okay. He's just like his brother, a Wisconsinite. So when I came across this article, I had to do like 15 double takes because Melissa and I are about to dive into an article about a photographer who's named T.J. Watt. not the same. No relation whatsoever.
Football player turned photographer? No.
Yes. Although it wouldn't shock me in this day and age, you know, especially with the Watt family. They are great. They're a fun family. logging still goes on in British Columbia, where nature lovers would prefer it didn't. But rather than bemoan the decision from afar, photographer T.J. Watt and T.J. Watt goes and looks for the best arguments for forest protection. Giant ancient trees. Many people will call him a tree hunter. He hunts down these beautiful legendary trees and makes sure to not only take photographs of them to preserve them, but to bring awareness to them so that hopefully loggers will not cut them down.
Wow.
Ever since he was 19, Watt has been trekking across the verdant landscapes of his home to look for the oldest trees he can. But on a recent trip to Flores Island, he found one of the largest, oldest trees in the whole country. Found at the Ahost First Nation land, the tree is a western red cedar, sometimes called red cedar because it's not actually a cedar tree. It's estimated to be 1,000 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
With a width at its base of 16 feet and a height of over 147 feet.
Whoa.
This is a skyscraper just hanging out. The tree was nicknamed the Wall.
Wall of Tree.
I tried to look up the Nuchanuhala language, how they say this, and I'm going to do my best try at this. Nahal Mahlis. Nahal Mahlis. I really Jewished that up. I really put a lot of Yiddish. if you've ever wondered what Yiddish and Native American languages would sound together, well, that's how it sounds together.
well, in your defense, there's only 355 speakers of the Nuchanulith language. So I don't think anybody's going to come down on you too hard.
I would like it if they did, though, just so I could talk to somebody who really does know how to speak that language. I would love to. I would love to talk to them.
It's a West Vancouver Island is where they speak that language, because I looked that up.
Thank you. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you. I can always count on you. Now, one of the things that Watt wants to mention about this tree that makes it so different, it's really interesting, because while most trees grow up, this tree is growing out. It's growing more wide.
As it goes up.
Which is fascinating.
The pictures are just cool. It is such a fascinating looking tree.
I would if I came across this in the wild, I would be doing one of those things where I'm looking around for a green screen or something like that. Like, this has got to be special effects. This thing can't be real. I would literally have to be touching it to really realize.
And then spend about, 15 minutes walking around it.
The Osant Nation is using the giant tree as a reminder to those seeking ecotourism excursions in the Clayont Sound. So this is awe-inspiring and really doing a lot of good over there for not only conservation, but people just getting people out of the house and getting them to hike and getting them to go check this thing out.
Yeah.
The tree is located in a forest that's lineage for logging, which hopefully means it will enrich the forest for centuries to come.
Yeah, but they can't log there, so this tree will survive. Well, it will continue to survive.
Yeah. We encourage the best listeners in radio to check out the goodnewsnetwork.org, goodnewsnetwork.org. You can find this article and take a look at these amazing trees. Otherwise, I would think that if you throw into your search engine tree wall or...
wall of trees.
you're going to come across this one. And if anything, you're going to come across some beautiful trees.
They're just, they're an ecosystem unto themselves, which is just so cool.
That was, I'm so glad you got that in, Melissa. I went past that. That is such an interesting, like that alone, I feel like we could spend 15 minutes talking about how this tree itself is its own ecosystem. There are so many birds and insects that have been like, generations of birds and insects this tree has been their home. It's fascinating. Yeah. This is a very cool article. Very cool. Go check that out, everybody. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and talk about your job. Have you ever had a job that paid you to do virtually nothing? that and some That Ain't Right stuff and local good stories all coming up with Melissa and James on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine what could relief from IBS-C mean for you. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Let's face it, we're all on the go. Go to work, school, sports, appointments, family gatherings, you name it. Get on the road hassle-free with A Street Auto. With a wide range of inventory, financing options, and excellent customer service, you'll be on the go in no time. Their friendly and knowledgeable staff is ready to help you find a car you deserve, priced to fit your budget. Shop their virtual showroom at 8thStreetAuto.com. Then stop by for a test drive.
Go, go, go to 8th Street Auto.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 78. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms again tonight. Lows level off around 60. Cloudy skies expected. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 79. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 63.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you, just hanging out. We hope you're having a great one out there. Quick reminder that on Monday, Melissa, Seth, and I will be hanging out. Looking forward to starting your week out together next week. It's going to be fun. Going to be fun. Well, let's take a look at this one here, Melissa. So everyone has heard someone complain about being underpaid, but people online are talking about the cushiest jobs they've ever had, the ones that pay you for basically doing nothing.
Okay.
I have never worked a job like this. I've worked jobs that were tougher than others, certainly, but I can't think of any job I've ever worked where I would call it cushy. I can't even wrap my brain around that one.
I have to say, night audit job at the hotel was except for having to stay up all night. You know, I didn't have to do much.
That one was tough for me when I night audited, just because I wasn't great at math. I would say some of the management I worked with and everything. But I hear what you're saying. I think with that one, I had some downtime on that job. I mentioned I
wouldn't describe it as cushy.
No, I wouldn't either. But I would say, but you're kind of getting at there a little bit. With that job, I would have at least an hour or two a night where I was basically just watching Forensic Files and waiting for
somebody. The next thing to happen.
Yeah,
phone
yeah.
to ring. Somebody basically. To walk in.
Who needs a towel? Who you know? Whose waffle right. maker ain't working? You know that stuff and everything. So let's look at this list. And most of these stories involve one of four types of jobs. One, jobs where you literally do nothing. For example, someone is a part-time gig at a university where they just wait around to see if anyone needs help conducting a Zoom call. And no one has asked for help in 18 months, and they're still getting paid.
Oh, my goodness.
If I had that job, I would not tell anybody. There's no way I'd be going on social media and bragging about it. I don't want anybody to know what I'm doing. I'm gonna keep my head down and keep this gig as long as I can.
As you could do other things while you were waiting, because yeah. Oh my goodness, the boredom.
Catch up on reading. I got so many books I've been waiting to read. I can catch up on reading. jobs where you do nothing most of the time, but you do have a responsibility. Someone said that they get paid $150,000 to do graphics for a video game studio. But there are long stretches of downtime where they're not needed, and in those times, they're not doing anything.
Wow. $150,000? Jeepers.
Man, got into the wrong industry. And there are jobs where workers are supposed to do stuff, but they get away with doing nothing. A lot of people talked about being overnight security guards, and they just end up watching Netflix. Someone else talked about babysitting automated machines at a production facility, but spending pretty much the whole day playing video games.
Well, because you're babysitting. Machines don't put things in their mouth.
Yeah.
Put things in their mouth they're not supposed to.
Yeah, yeah. And finally, some people talked about jobs that are so loose that they're able to stack them to get paid two or three times over the same time. One person said, my friend was a bread shelving person. It got to be easy. They grabbed a second route, then a third. Each route was 40 hours, and you were supposed to check in the stores two or three times a day. Another person had a similar gig like this. I don't begrudge any of these people in the jobs that they're doing, and you can make arguments that there are needs for a lot of these jobs. But I call all of this a that ain't right story because they're coming forward with it. Why are you telling people? Why are you telling people about this? These are the same people when you play poker; they just show you their hand. They just show you right away. I mean, what are you doing? Don't tell anybody about this.
They found ways to game the system. Yeah, it works for them.
And now the system knows. I mean, what are you doing? At a day and age where everybody is worried about AI taking your jobs, don't go telling them about a job that AI could do. Don't go doing that. What are you doing? Don't do it. That ain't right. Don't do it.
Well, makes the rest of us wish we could find something like that or do something like that. But that requires, obviously, I don't know, time. Who's got time to try to figure that out?
I was talking about this earlier this week. This month marks 22 years for me in radio. And
wow! Congratulations.
Thank you. I love this industry. I it's a part of me. It's a part of my DNA, just like this station is. And at the same time, I don't know even if I wanted to do another job if I could anymore. This job has become such a part of my who I am as far as like my day-to-day life. I'm going around and I'm talking to my mom or my sister or somebody like that, and I'm realizing I'm interviewing them or I'm talking to them looking for content for one of our segments or something like that.
Wait, is that happening later today? Can we talk about that? Sure.
I'm one of those people. I don't think I'd ever truly retire. I don't think I'd ever truly leave, whether it's radio or acting or anything like that. Part of the reason I love these industries is they have the kind of pace that I enjoy. As much as it drives me crazy sometimes, like, it, you know, any job that anything you love, part of love is insanity. It's that kind of thing. I don't think I could work one of these jobs, basically. I'm really putting myself in these shoes. And I, even though part of me would probably like that and maybe even better benefited from it mental health wise, I don't think I could do that kind of job where you're getting paid to not do that much.
No, I didn't last very long because I did that a little bit when I was working switchboard out at Fort McCoy. And I had stacked jobs, but I was working in all of them.
Yeah.
I was working three different jobs. But some of them were basically babysitting jobs where you're there as the physical presence to make sure nothing starts on fire, that the computers keep working, you know, that the calls are going through. It's hard to, I had a hard time doing nothing in a job and getting paid for it.
Yeah, just not my thing. But as off as that one might have been, this is the, one of the weirder stories I have come across, Melissa, and I purposely did not read this one. I wanted to just experience it with you in real time.
Okay.
This is kind of brilliant or maybe just a little weird. So that seems like our wheelhouse.
Yeah, pretty much.
Women are now adding fake second belly buttons to their stomach to make their legs look longer.
What?
I don't know what to do with that sentence. I got to say it again. Women are now adding fake second belly buttons to their stomach to make their legs look longer. Let's dive into this.
Okay.
It's become a thing in China. You buy temporary tattoos that look like belly buttons and put one on your stomach a few inches above your actual belly button and cover your real one with a high-waisted skirt or pants. If you wear a crop top or anything that shows your stomach, it creates an optical illusion. Your waist looks higher, so your legs look longer. Women in China are buying sheets of temporary belly button tattoos so that they can reapply them once they wear off, and you can buy them here too. Walmart has them at their website.
Oh my goodness.
Some women also think the temporary tattoos look cuter than their actual belly buttons, so there's another reason for their popularity. What the what? I mean,
you know, because belly button higher, legs longer. Where does the butt land?
Yes, thank you. I should mention I have a PhD in bootyology, so I am a little I lean a little bit towards that part of the body. I will admit, but I have that deep question right away, Melissa. What about that? What if you see the person? You see them from the front, and then they turn around, and you're like, wait a minute, whoa, what's going on here?
Like you said, they turn around. So you can't see them both at the same time, obviously, unless they're standing with a mirror behind them that you could see both. These are obviously skinny women that are doing this.
Yeah. But we are in a day and age where we're more than ever, people are whether it's what we do, Melissa, or our politics, or just people in general, we want real. We want people to be themselves. We keep talking about that. And then every once in a while, we have something like this come about that I feel like takes us a step back. I don't begrudge fashion, and I don't begrudge, and I am certainly not about to try to explain or try to get into what it is to be a woman and worrying about fashion or worrying about your appearance or any of these things. That's something that I respect, and I respect the fact that I don't know. But but come on, I mean, now fake belly buttons. the high heels or fake nails or any of these things, like, that wasn't enough. Now we got to do this. It seems like we've gone too far. It's, if we hadn't already, it feels like we have gone too far.
I guess it's all about your own image and what makes you feel good about yourself. So if putting a fake belly button on your stomach makes you feel good about yourself, you know, more power to you.
Yeah, I completely agree. I just hope that person or those people can get to a point where they can just be themselves and feel just as good. I would like to see that.
I would wish that for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, we need a palate cleanser. Let's go ahead and get to some good stuff here. And it begins with our programming here, right here at WFHR, where from 3 to 4 today, join us for Midday Magazine, our final one for the week. And we got a good one lined up for you. We've got Bettina Renard coming in, Elder Benefits Specialist with our ADRC here in Wisconsin Rapids in Central Wisconsin.
Oh, wonderful. Good information.
Yeah, we're looking forward to talking with her. And in part 2, Superintendent Craig Broren is bringing in Kelly Schaefer. She is the Washington Elementary Principal.
Nice.
Washington School was the first elementary school I went to here in Rapids, and love that school. It's still one of my favorite places to drive by or anything like that. Very good memories. Looking forward to talking with her right after Midday Magazine today. You're going to want to stick around because at 4 o'clock, our pregame kicks off for Wisconsin football at Purdue. Big Ten action right here where it belongs on WFHR.
Nice.
Of course, great high school football on our radio this weekend. Just head on over to 105.5 WIRI, Wiz Country. 6:40, our pregame kicks off tonight as Lincoln High School hosting DC Everest. Michael and Seth going to be covering that one for you. And that same tag team going to take care of you on Saturday at 10:40 when our pregame kicks off for Assumption High School football hosting Pacelli.
Nice. Homecoming game.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. And along with that, Melissa, again, the mass today will begin at 12:30 over at Assumption. The parade will be at 1:15 following the mass. And they've got a September Fest brat fry from 4 to 6 to support the Washington, D.C. trip.
That's for the 8th graders, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. And the pep rally, torch run, and lighting of the A starts about 6 o'clock tonight. Be sure to check all that out. And of course, again, the game, Assumption hosting Pacelli on WIRI. Join us for that. And join me and Over the Back Fence tomorrow right here. It's going to be a good time. We're going to have fun.
Call up with your things to sell or things you're looking for.
Quick programming note, on Monday, not only will you have Melissa and Seth and I, and you'll, of course, have another Kitchens Open segment, but we are going to be joined right after the Kitchens Open by our own Alice in Dairyland, Ashley Hagnow.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, Ashley's going to call in. We're going to talk a little bit about farm and railroad safety and get into that a little bit.
Wonderful.
Looking forward to it. Looking at some local good stories out there, there is some great stuff coming up for you, everybody. And tomorrow, one of them, we were talking with Madison about this yesterday, the 5K9 walk run with the South O'Connor Humane Society taking place tomorrow at Red Sands Shelter House.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
It's going to be a good time. Registration starts at 8. The race kicks off at 9. They'll have raffles, a bake sale, pledge prizes, merch for sale, and a wonderful opportunity to support our Humane Society. As a side note, they don't have this on here, but Madison was telling us it is kitten season. If you're able to...
kitten wet food.
Yes, if you can bring wet cat food, wet kitten food, that would be greatly appreciated. And help us support our great friends over at the Humane Society. And be sure to join us every Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour for another Pet of the Week from the Southwood County Humane Society.
Indeed.
On Monday, we have a great community blood drive taking place from 2 to 7 at the former East Junior High School Music Room at 111 at 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Be sure to join us for that if you are able to. We greatly appreciate all you heroes donating out there.
And there is a national shortage, so if you can donate, please do so.
You can find out more and get any questions answered at the Blood Center for North Central Wisconsin's toll-free number at 866-566-5900, 866-566-5900. And our good friends at the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties are seeking reading mentors. They're also looking for more lawns to take care of and for people to take care of those lawns for Day of Caring.
Day of Caring.
So many great things. They're in campaign season. We encourage you to find out more by going to uwswac.org. Be sure to bookmark that page and follow your United Way on social media as well.
Yeah. If you donate, you could win $1,000 of the sweepstakes.
A 64-year-old guy from San Diego named Tom Willis has thrown out the first pitch at 29 different major league ballparks. And it's way more impressive than once you hear this. He doesn't have arms.
Oh, my goodness.
He uses his feet to throw.
Oh, good for him.
He tossed out the first pitch at a Yankee game on Tuesday. Angel Stadium is the one last one on his list. That could happen next season. Big shout out to him. Growing up, I don't know if you heard the name, Melissa, but there was a guy, Jim Abbott, who actually celebrated a birthday this week. Jim Abbott was born with only one hand. and he became a major league pitcher. And a Hall of Fame, I believe a Hall of Famer. He had a no-hitter, I believe won a World Series. If you ever get a chance, I know you couldn't care less about sports, but this is really fascinating. When Jim Abbott would pitch, he'd have the glove on one hand, and after he threw, he would quickly switch to get the glove over so he could field.
So he could actually catch it with something.
Yeah. It's so cool to watch. It's a really interesting thing to see.
Sounds like overcoming and persevering to chase your dreams. Good on them.
Bystanders in Georgia helped cops lift a car off a 19-year-old kid who crashed while running from the police, and it's all on video. He's facing charges, and he'll be taken care of, and he's lucky to be alive. But if you watch the video, it's just so moving to see all these people, no pun intended,
come together.
Yeah, and helping this officer. He doesn't ask for help. They just come and help. It's a really cool scene to be able to take in if you get a chance. And an animal charity called Draw for Paws recently launched a new program called Grandpaws.
Ooh.
It's to help older pets get adopted from shelters. They're having people in retirement homes paint pictures of them and post them online.
Aww.
It's such a cool idea and such a cool combination to bring two great groups, organizations together and do something good.
Yeah. Wow. That's wonderful.
Great shows today, last couple of days, Melissa. You've earned a couple of days off. I will not bother you for a couple of days unless it's fantasy football
related. Wait, I get to take off the weekend?
Yes.